Thank you. Good morning. I am so glad to see you, so glad to be with you, and so excited for this opportunity for us to be together and worship together. We are continuing to work our way through this sermon series, Then Sings My Soul, where we're pulling different songs that are important into the life of Kairos, into our worship, and looking at what does that song say? How does that song inform our faith? What does it say in relationship to Scripture? I'll tell you that this week I was telling a friend of mine that this morning our song was going to be Come As You Are, and they got so excited that we were going to be talking about Nirvana in worship this morning. So, if you're a big Nirvana fan, while Kurt Cobain certainly wrestles with the expectations of the world in the Nirvana version of Come As You Are, we're going to stick with David Crowder this morning in the song that our musicians just led us through. And as we approach the scripture, I just want to remind you of the words that we sang in that chorus. So this was the chorus that we just sang. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. A wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. So I'm going to invite us to hold that chorus as we turn to the scripture. And of course, as we turn to scripture, let's turn to God to pray for the Spirit to illumine the word of God. So let me pray for us. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together. God, we pray that you would indeed be present, that the words that are read are your words, the words that are spoken are your words, the words that are heard are your words. And God, may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. Speak, God. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. I'll start at verse 37, and we'll just read a couple verses through verse 39. I'll invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, I had been invited to speak at a retreat. And I met some of the staff at the church, but I hadn't met anybody that was part of this church, and so I was going to meet them when I got there. So I get to the place that afternoon, and I spend the afternoon kind of get my stuff together, so the first time I'm going to get to meet people is when I go down to dinner Friday night. So I walk into the room, and I walk up to a table. The table has one seat there, and I walk up to the table, and I say, "May I join you?" "Oh, we're saving this seat for our friend, and they're coming. They're going to be here in just a minute. I'm so sorry." "Cool." It didn't take up me like a ton of energy to like get courage to walk up through this room of people I don't know and ask if I can sit down. That's fine. It's fine. That's fine. No problem. So that's fine because there's a table next to him, and that table has an empty seat. So I go to the other table. "May I join you?" Y'all, I kid you not. They looked at me with the sweetest, most polite little faces, and they said, "Oh, our friend is running late. This is her seat." "Right, perfect, thank you. I know no one in the room. This is totally fine. I will just go over here to this table and sit all by myself for dinner," which I did. But then afterwards, we go to worship, and I do the evening teaching, and after the evening teaching, people from both tables come up to me. "I am so sorry. If I would have known who you were," that didn't help. And so I wonder then, when I think about this, when I think about this idea of room at the table and how often we have to get up the courage to approach to see if there's room at the table, or how often it's too overwhelming and too intimidating, and so we don't even enter into that new situation. I wonder how many times we've experienced this. And I wonder if we're really honest with ourselves How many times have we been the people at the table to let people know there's not a seat there? And I wonder, when we think about what it looks like to come as you are, when we talk about coming to Jesus, when we talk about coming to this community that professes to follow Jesus, I'm wondering, how do people experience that? Do people feel welcomed? Or, there's a room full of people and there's a lot of cliques and I'm going to feel left out, so I'm not going to go in there. Or everybody knows how judgmental churches are, so I'm not gonna worry about going in. Or look at everybody, they all look so put together, they're gonna figure out that my life is falling apart. So I'm not going to go in there. And so I wonder then, how often are people willing to approach the table? And I will tell you, as someone who has given my very life to serving the church, I would like to stand here and tell you that it's ridiculous that we would even need to think that. That never happens. Don't worry. It's silly to think that that might happen. But the fact of the matter is, it does. It does happen. Unfortunately, as much as it literally gives me pain to tell you, it's a reputation that the church has earned. And we can go back. History is not on our side in this situation. We can go back and we look at the 11th century, that there was this time that the church decided that they wanted to put a real emphasis on confessing before you came to the table. And so there's a scripture verse that talks about examining your heart before you have communion, and so they really wanted to take that seriously and really emphasize that. And so they said, you have to go to confession before you have communion, and we want to make sure that you actually confess at confession. And then just confessing isn't enough. You really need to pay a penance so that we know that you really have been absolved from this sin. And so they would give you acts of service or some way to pay a penance, and then you would get a letter, an indulgence, saying that you had done the thing to be absolved of the sin. One of the acts of service is giving money to the needy. So you can see then, with corruption in the church, how this very quickly turns into simply paying for that letter, buying an indulgence so that you can come to church and have communion. You can see then, eventually, the church was only open to those who could afford to pay. There's not room at the table if you can't afford it. The good news is this is going to lead to the Protestant Reformation, and all of this work is going to be done, and it's fantastic, except fast forward a couple centuries, and we're still messing things up. I don't know if you are a person who has spent the last couple decades in this particular kind of brand of Christian culture, but there have been several names in the last couple decades, people who have been doing big ministry, that thousands of people have been coming to the Lord because of the ministry that these people are doing. Maybe you've heard of names like Rob Bell and Jen Hatmaker and Beth Moore, people who are doing amazing ministry, and people know Jesus because of the ministry they're doing. Except for at some point, they decided to ask the church some questions. And what do you mean by this? And do we really? What does this mean? And they start asking these questions, and the church said, you're not going to ask those questions. And they were Christian canceled. And it begs the question, if the church isn't strong enough to be asked questions, what is the church built on? And recently, I read this article by a woman named Reba Riley. She wrote this book called The Post-Traumatic Church Syndrome. And she's talking about this, that's happening, and how these things that are happening in the church and the effect it's having on those who identify as Christians. And she says this: where the data shows 5 million fewer Protestants, 3 million fewer Catholics, and 19 million more nuns, and nuns are people who do not identify with any religion. She says, I see Sarah, the bartender who isn't allowed to love Jesus because she loves women, and Sam, who adores the new pope but hates the things the church has done in the name of Jesus, and David, the minister who just can't believe in hell. She says, I see thousands of stories of brokenness, I see millions of people who crash into religion when they go looking for God. I see people so tired of being spiritually bruised that they give up on faith altogether. And I read that sentence. I was sitting in a coffee shop in Roswell when I was reading this, and I literally put my head down behind my computer. There are tears streaming down my face. The church has been so good to me. Everything I know about church has been a family who holds me and cares for me and informs me and tells me about how much they love me and Jesus loves me. Everything I know about church is beautiful. But here we are, the reality is that the church has also caused pain and trauma. And I grieve because two very different things are both true at the same time. Too many times we've had to watch as the church has turned to those who are doing the best they can to be faithful, and the church is saying, sorry, there's not room for you here. This seat is for someone else. And it's no wonder that the world is going to give up on the church, because if the church isn't even going to keep the people inside the church in, then what are they going to say about the people who are outside the church? And that is why, as a church, as Kairos Church, as a church, that is why we turn to the Word of God. That is why we are committed to being a church who is built on the Word, that we would look to the Word of God. And what is the Word calling us to do? Who is God calling us to be? And so then we look then in John chapter 7, we look at that scripture this morning, and what do the words of Jesus tell us? And it says that Jesus cried out, and that Greek word doesn't mean like he said it really in it, like fun way. It means he cried out. The word means to shriek or to exclaim with intent, that Jesus cries out to everyone who would hear, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let anyone who is thirsty, come to me, Jesus says. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is one of the three big feasts. You have Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was to remind people of God's provision as the people of God were wandering through the wilderness, the Israelites as they're wandering. And at this feast, toward the last day, the scripture tells us the great day, there was a water ceremony where the priest would draw water from the pool of Siloam, and then he would pour it in a silver bowl at the altar. This act of pouring the water into the bowl at the altar, it was a prayer. It was a prayer for rain, for God to provide, to water the earth, that there would be crops, that they would have food, they would have life. It was a prayer for life. And this is why in the rabbinic tradition, they often say that this water drawing ceremony was a Holy Spirit drawing, calling for the Holy Spirit to be there, the very breath of God, that which gives us life, that which sustains us in life. And so all these people have gathered around Jesus at this ceremony as the water are being poured, and they experience the call for the Holy Spirit to be present. And as they're gathered around, what they hear Jesus say is, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And all these people who have gathered around Jesus at the Festival of Tabernacles, they're gathered around and they hear Jesus say, living waters. And they say, wait a minute. I remember where Jesus has just been. I remember this journey that Jesus has been on for the first seven chapters of the book of John. And I remember that just a few weeks ago, just right there back in chapter 4, I remember Jesus used the words living water again, because I remember that one time he met a woman at a well. And he had no business talking to this woman. She was every kind of outcast, marginalized, social structure, whatever. He shouldn't have been talking to her. She was a Samaritan. She had been divorced a bunch of times. She was a woman. He shouldn't have been talking to her. And yet, not only does Jesus seek her out, but he invites her to know the living water. He invites her in to know and be filled with the Holy Spirit, to tell her that even though the world has constantly told her that there's no room for her, Jesus invites her to come as she is, because there is exactly room for her. And so the people at the Feast of Tabernacle, they are remembering, when he says living waters, they remember this, and they remember that Jesus has invited her to come in. But then they remember, wait, not just in chapter 4 when he talked to the Samaritan woman, but just even a few nights right before that in chapter 3, just before that, we remember somebody else. We remember that there was a man named Nicodemus, that man, a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling council, an elite religious man, that man came to Jesus, that Jesus welcomed him, that Jesus invited him to be born of water and of spirit. Again with the water, again with the invitation, again with Jesus telling him to come because there's room at the table. And so when we hear Jesus at the Feast of Tabernacles crying out to all who are thirsty to come, we think about, gracious, all of these people that Jesus has just been inviting, and Jesus has kind of hit the whole spectrum of all of the people. People who are all over the place, Jesus has invited them to come in. He said, come, be part of my community. There is room for you here. And when we hear Jesus say those words, and we hear him, and we know he said them to Nicodemus, and we know he said them to the woman at the well, and we know he says them to us. In that invitation, we too are invited in, that we may come as we are, that those who feel left out, cast aside, rejected, come. Those who doubt, who are ashamed, who aren't ready to talk about Jesus in the light of day, come. Those who are weary and broken, come. Those who are hurt and betrayed, those who are angry and bitter, come. Those who are not welcome anywhere else, come. Those who aren't sure they have any feelings at all about Jesus and Jesus' church, come. Those who are rambunctious and untamed, come. Those who are faking their way through it, come. Those who weep, who have been abandoned, who have been left behind, come. Those who are spiritually depleted, come. Those who aren't sure if they agree with the church, come. Jesus says, this is the place for you. And I will tell you, if we're going to be a church who loves Jesus, if we're going to be a church who is encouraging one another to follow daily in the way of Jesus, then it is our call to echo those very words of Jesus, that we would cry out to all, come. So hear the invitation of the scripture this morning, that wherever you are, whoever you are, this place is for you. But also, hear the challenge and the call of our scripture this morning, that when we walk out these doors, it is our job to call people, that wherever they are, to come. Friends, this is the good news of the word. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are such a big, gracious, and loving God, that your church has been standing for thousands of years, that we cannot tear down the church. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to mold us and shape us into a people who are seeking after you, what it looks like to be your church in a faithful, authentic, loving, and gracious way. So be present, dear God. Encourage us, challenge us, Kyrios. In your holy name we pray. Amen.